Attention. The National Weather Service has issued a hurricane warning for the entirety of the National Hockey League. Please stay tuned for further information from the Storm Cellar.
Bienvenue, dans la Storm Cellar, to all of the fans of the team who shall not be named, and welcome to everyone else. Welcome to the Storm Cellar. It has been a heck of a week. An impressive victory against Montreal last night. Not the best game I've ever seen, but not terrible. Both teams kind of played eh. And today I get to watch my beloved NC State Wolfpack take on a potential juggernaut, right, in Duke, who they beat a week or so ago. And it's house money, Ray. People keep, you ask me, are you nervous? My, family who are all, everyone is UNC fan but me. You got to play Duke now. Yeah, so what? They were not expected to win the ACC tournament. They were not expected to make the NCAAs. They were not expected to beat the first round. We're not expected to beat Oakland. We're not expected to beat Marquette. It is house money, sir. Whatever happens today, very proud of our DJs. Like, both of us, as the whole team has been up and just killing it. I mean, those guys are playing with a lot of confidence. I think they're going to win today. Like, legit, taking the homerism out, they're just, it has that vibe. Can they win the whole thing? I don't know. But today, against an opponent they know they can beat in Duke, yeah, Duke's going to want some revenge game. But I don't know. Duke feels a little off to me. Duke's, it's not the Duke of 4 or 5 years ago with Coach K with the swagger and all, right? They're a little, a little of the shine has come off. So how are you, as a fellow Duke hater, how are you today?
Yeah, you know what? I'm great. And this is a question. You've lived there. You grew up in it. And I need to know. Normally, this is the simple question. Is the enemy of my enemy my friend in these situations? Will you have heel fans join, yes, or would heel fans normally join you? I think one thing could be stated without question that State and UNC have in common is the severe hatred of Duke. That's fair to
100%.
Say.
100%. It's when I was younger and I was still, so I've said before, my brother went to UNC. My sister-in-law went to UNC. I was expected to go on UNC, did not want to go to UNC. And I didn't want to be cast as your brother did this at UNC. Well, your brother did that at UNC. Your sister-in-law did this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I need to be my own person, right?
Yeah.
And one of the ways to do that was to go to NC State and just make everybody mad for a while. And even today, even last night, my dad is like, it's weird not having anybody to pull for in the tournament. And I'm like, I'm right here.
What the heck? Yeah, I'm right here. Yeah.
Like, hello, you had two kids, one of which went to each school. Like, give me some credit, right?
Yeah. But
as a kid, I think NC State UNC was the big rivalry. And I'm talking 80s, right? UNC with championship. Yeah. NC State's like, yeah, we can do that too. In football, they've gone back and forth. Like, NC State's had the advantage for the last decade or so. But then, I mean, it's Tobacco Road. So as Duke really rose to prominence and they became UNC, Duke became the two power schools, and NC State was languishing in a distant third.
Yeah.
I think those two fan bases are bigger rivals, at least in basketball.
Right.
Duke was so bad in football for decades that, NC State, UNC in football is probably still the bigger rivalry.
Sure.
But I definitely feel like UNC and Duke fans will pull for State against the other one because they just, I think I was listening. Somebody on Twitter the other day said something about, we're not cheering for UNC. We're cheering for the ACC. We still hate Carolina. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of how I'm feeling. But
right,
I'm old enough now. It's more of a friendly rivalry. I don't get all upset about it like I did maybe when I was actually attending university down there.
Sure.
So, but yeah, I think today you will see more UNC fans pull for State than Duke.
Yeah.
Assuming any of them pull for Duke. You know what I mean?
I can't imagine.
They might be like, I hope you both lose and a meteor hits the place, or they pull for NC State. But I don't really see any UNC fans probably pulling for Duke. That's just, it's in their DNA. They just can't, they just can't be done.
What I wonder is also is, the other question is, do they even watch the game? Do they even care? This, based on what your dad said, it's hard not to pull for anyone. There's no one in, no one to cheer for anymore. And it's like, is it like that?
You know, that's a tough one. I would say you'll get a lot of fans watching anyway, because they're basketball fans, right? They're UNC fans, but they're basketball fans.
Yeah.
It's important. It's still like, you know, it would be like when the team that shall not be named goes to the Stanley Cup Finals and get whooped on.
Yeah.
You know, Stanley Cup Finals, but you were watching because you were hoping they were going to get destroyed, right?
Oh, so yeah.
Right? So, I mean, there's fun in that. So, yeah, I think, you know.
But I have schadenfreude for them.
What's that? Yeah.
But I have schadenfreude for them. So it's like, it's like serious issues with that.
Yeah, but that's pretty common, though. But yeah, your casual fans are going to, your basketball fans were going to watch today.
Yeah.
Right. Because they're going to watch the non-ACC games too. It's the Hurricanes, I think, do a good job of trying to play to all the schools in the area, and not just the big three. I think they do a pretty good job of trying to represent everybody. If you listen to the crowd and they flash up a score, you know, there's a lot of state fans in that building, right?
For sure. You know what? That was the other thing that I was wondering is, we'd have to get an official on this to ask them the question directly. Do the Hurricanes, you think, are they asked to shy away from selecting a favorite on Tobacco Road because you don't want to besmirch 2/3 of the fans?
I think that they probably do a little bit of that. Like I don't think they shy away so much as they try and just make sure it stays kind of in balance.
Right.
You know, like a lot of the guys seem to have taken to NC State. Like, they go to state games. Like, you can find players in state football and basketball games and things. And so I think they want to lean into, like, that, because we've talked a million times, small community, yakety, like it's a good thing. But I do think that they try to balance it, and just, you know, so when a couple of the guys went to like a UNC over to Keenan Stadium and took in a game, like, they made sure to get those picks out and stuff. So I think they do just try and keep it in balance. Like, we don't want to go too far into any one team, and I think they do a pretty good job of that. I mean,
it's just such a unique situation where hated rivals, like, and that's no shortage. This is the Flames, Oilers. This is, you know, the Sox, Yankees. This is like, it's that kind of hate. It's Leafs, team that shall not be named, hate. But they get them all to cheer for one thing. Right, and how do you want to,
like,
it's great.
How cool and how great of a product do you have that you can get Red Sox fans and Yankees fans in the same place, all pulling for the same team? Like, that's really special.
It is special.
You know? And I feel I should apologize, because I don't want to forget, the NC State women's team, also in the Elite Eight.
That's amazing.
Also have big games coming up. I read it was like the first time in forever and a day where, you know, you have both teams, you know, in the Elite Eight at the same time. And I mean, that's a heck of a day for NC State, or a heck of a month for NC State to put themselves kind of back on the map. They certainly have fallen off in the past while, at least in like basketball, football, right?
Right.
Other sports. Gymnastics, NC State gymnastics team, like, those ladies are perennial, like, you know, national championship contenders. Volleyball, I think. Soccer is kind of a UNC thing. Lacrosse is kind of a Duke thing. But yeah, so shout out to the women's team as well, because to do what they've done as well, you know, as well. And Kate Yao, who coached that program forever, who was just a treat. I mean, Kate was coaching when I was there, and she outlasted me there like 20 years. And a phenomenal woman. I used to live in Becton. And for you and for folks who may not realize and know NC State, so Becton's one of the dormitories, is part of a quad, Becton, mm-hmm. Bregaw, and Bagwell. And then you had, I think it was a theater arts building. And then you had Reynolds Coliseum, where NC State used to play all its basketball games. And so my dorm was like 100 yards from Reynolds. And Reynolds is kind of like RBC Center. You know, so RBC gets a lot of, like, they bust pipe and music and stuff. And it's just, it's got a low ceiling, like the second lowest ceiling in the league, I think. So just a lot of sound reverberates. It's kind of designed. And Reynolds was this small, cramped, old building, right? It's all stone. There's no sound dampening or anything. But you would get in there for men's or women's basketball games, and the place would... Even in college, we would sometimes take like earplugs for big games because it was just raw.
Wow.
It was just amazing. I saw us beat UNC in that building. I saw us beat Duke in that building. And it was just bananas. We rushed the court, like the whole experience. It was.
You rushed the court?
When we beat Duke in that building, absolutely, we rushed the court. It was.
You know what?
UNC
that's.
Too. I mean,
it was. That's. I would have loved to do that.
And I have not been to an NC State basketball game since they moved because I live in Massachusetts, right?
Right.
But I was sad because I'm like, it's great because you get a lot more people in there. It's a big-time arena.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and it's like going to, like, Dorton or, you know, I don't know what the comparable is up in Calgary, but the Sound Dome might be it. Right?
Well, yeah.
There's something about a small venue where you're packed in there and it's not necessarily comfortable and you're on top of each other, but it's electric. Like, the whole thing is alive.
Yeah,
I really miss that. So, you know, I don't know. Very, very proud of both of those teams, regardless of what happens from here on out. You know, we were talking
no
before.
Question.
You know, for the men's team, they weren't even expected to, you know, win a game or two in the ACC tournament, much less go on the streak they're going on. So it's all house money. Very proud of those teams. I know our UNC and Duke listeners and Wake Forest and NC, like A&T and all those folks are like tuned out or hitting the fast forward button. It's fine. I promise I'll shut up about State. But just very happy. It shines a good light on the triangle in general. So
it absolutely does. There's a vibe in the air that when you see something like this happen, I just can't help but think, man, that's just a good vibe everywhere. That makes the whole area feel good. There's an aura to it, and mm-hmm. you gotta love it. You gotta love it. Yeah. Almost as much as you love watching the Hurricanes put the boots to the team that shall not be named.
And it, like we said, you know, I kind of opened with, like, it wasn't like the best game I've ever seen.
No.
But in no time did I think they were going to lose. So, and I mean, just a tremendous schedule, right? They played, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, they played almost every other day for a month. You know,
it felt like every other day
weeks and weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they played 15 games in the month of March.
Right.
That is every other day. And some of the way it was set up, I could almost understand if you're playing every other day, just lay it out that way. But no, there were sections where they're playing four games in like 6 days or 7 days. It was crazy. And we're coming up on another back-to-back coming up this week. It's scheduling is rough, but we've seen our way through it with, you know, not just only the additions but the return of great goaltending. And it's coming up. It's coming up, to borrow a Simpsonism. Everything's coming up Milhouse. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just great.
Clinched a playoff spot this week.
Yep.
Six straight years under RBA, six straight playoff spots with four straight division titles.
Correct.
And that looks like that might not be the case as of right now, but
yeah,
the Rangers
things
are on
change.
Heater. Fine. Let them get hot now and cool off in 3 weeks. Great.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's there were games that they managed to pull out that, you know, we kind of thought, hey, here's, we're going to gain a couple, you know what I mean? A couple of points here. And then the Rangers, you know, pull things out. They're playing great hockey right now. This playoff, but my question, I guess, out of all of this, and I'm jumping all over the place, the question that jumps out of my mind is how many metropolitan teams are actually going to be in the playoffs when you look at last night and Chicago putting the boots to Philly.
Yeah, who lost their number three seed last night, at least
temporarily. Yes,
and
yeah.
Washington has a game in hand, so that
Things are changing. There's something in the air. Let's say that.
I wanted to play Philly for the first time ever in the playoffs. I was looking forward to it, and now I don't see how we pull it off.
Yeah, we still could, but it's like Tortorella said last night. It's like maybe this is what we needed. We needed to hit rock bottom. Like this is now. I've always said you never challenge worst because things can always be worst. Right. But
yeah.
Losing 5-1 in Philly to Chicago, that does not bode well for their home stretch. Like they are fading fast. And Washington still doing their thing. You know what I mean? Like they're mm-hmm. still there. They've turned their season around.
Look, they have two games in hand. They're tied in points with Philly. They have two games in hand.
Yeah.
So it's not even a race in my mind at this point between the Caps and the Flyers. It's between the Flyers and the Wings. Because if the Wings win, they have a game in hand. If they win it, then they're tied up with Philly. Philly could miss the playoffs. And if they don't, honestly, the Red Wings shouldn't miss the playoffs either because they were in it and then just completely tanked. It's
oh, my gosh.
Which one of those teams doesn't want...
Well, you got to wonder.
What's going on? I mean, now players don't get played for the playoffs. Like contracts, the whole shebang-a-bang is designed. You get played through the season.
Right? Yeah.
The playoffs are for playing for glory. I don't know, man. I mean, it's a conspiracy theory. Maybe those guys are just tired. They're like, you know, we're not going deep. Like,
Did you have either Philly or Detroit in the playoffs? At the start of the season, did you think they'd be in?
The Red Wings, maybe. The Flyers, absolutely not. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's like the NC State thing, right? It's kind of house money.
Yeah.
The Wings, I said, okay, those guys looked good enough last year. I could see them pulling it together.
Yeah.
Philadelphia, I thought, would be near the bottom of the Metro.
I did not see Philly doing their best. So maybe the, you know, they are really now showing their true colors, for a lack of better terms.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean,
I definitely would have had the Devils, Islanders, and Penguins above the Flyers.
Yeah.
And that just leaves the Jackets.
What was Torts doing sitting Couturier?
I mean, they won. At least they won. I know they won the first game they did.
They lost Torts. The second one, though. It was like, it's weird. There was something there, right? Like,
yeah, it's.
I don't know. It was just strange.
But to me, I mean, for the most part, I don't like it. He was one of the early people who played the closer to the style of hockey we're playing now.
Yeah,
and now he's gone back to like the slow it down trap pylon game, and I don't know. Torts is a weird one to me. I can't figure the guy out.
Yeah. It's going to be, we've got a week and a half left now, 15 days, 2 weeks, I guess.
Like 2 weeks. Yeah.
2 weeks of hockey remaining. We've got 7 games left and it's pretty darn soft, you know, as far as opponents and so forth.
You get the Bruins twice and a bunch of also-rans.
Yep.
Sorry.
That's really it.
I include the Capitals in that, but.
Well, the Caps, I think that now becomes perhaps the, you know, preview of the playoff series that's coming for the Hurricanes. And I mean, Rod wants the guys up every night, which is what I love about him. because that's what I want them up every night. I don't want them anyone taking a night off. But you can bet they'll be pushed back against the Caps. I mean, that Caps game, that was nuts.
At the right time.
They are. And so that has me a little concerned, far more concerned than Philly ever did. Right.
Yeah.
Like,
Detroit.
Or Detroit. Yeah. No, they didn't really.
Islanders in there. I thought the Islanders were going to do better.
How you liking Roy out there, guys? Was he the. Is he the answer? That Schadenfreude thing again.
I watch Raw the way I watch a train wreck. Like after when he walked out of that game in Montreal and was like, I'm not playing again. I was like, okay, you're already a legendary goaltender. Like it is fun to watch you. It's like, but you're also just a hothead and I want to just see you melt down sometime because it's funny.
I think that might have been the happiest game that I watched in its entirety that didn't involve the Whalers, the Canes. It was just it was just seeing them get crushed like that. Man, and to have them all on him when he got the the Bronx cheer when he stopped the 90 foot or it was probably 120 foot shot that actually landed on net and he stopped it and all of the crowd went wild and he's like raising his arms. I was like, I couldn't have laughed harder, honestly. It's just so good. It was so good. Oh my gosh.
Since we're talking playoffs, let's look at the West real quick and then we'll circle back around to a couple of Kane specific stats. But Stars, Avalanche, Canucks have locked it up in the West.
Yep.
Winnipeg is safe. They're in. Edmonton is safe. They're in. Which leaves you with Knights, Preds, and Kings. The Blues are back 8 points and they give up a game. I don't see the Blues have any chance of making it at this point. So I think, with the exception of Flyers, Red Wings, I think your playoffs are kind of set, right? Out West, Central, Stars, Avalanche, Jets, Pacific, Canucks, Oilers, Knights, and then wild card, Preds and Kings. Now, you might see somebody move from wild card into a spot, but at this point, I don't see anybody not currently in the playoffs falling out.
I mean,
like I said, the only place in the league I could see that maybe is the Flyers or Wings might trade places.
See, and I'm looking at this and I'm saying, you know, Blues are 5 points back of the Kings. Can they reel in the Kings? And they're actually a team that we have an interaction with. We'll be playing the Blues before the end of the season. So that might be a game to circle on the calendar. Because if the Blues are able to keep them in range, maybe reel in the Kings a little bit, maybe there's a change there, but that's a monumental ask. Like I'm with you. I think what we have, it's just a positioning situation, right? With, you know, who's going to be where to play whom. And everyone's already foaming at the mouth because there were thoughts that the Oilers and Kings could be a thing again. Like there's a couple of teams that have had enough of each other. No.
Yeah. I would watch that.
they sure like to get into it. So yeah, the Central is funny. The teams are just, until the Jets kind of fell off, it wasn't so long ago that the Stars, Avs, and Jets all had the same amount of points. They were all tied for first in the Central. It was crazy. And then the wheels kind of fell off on the Jets a little bit.
It softened up a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, you know, Colorado looks great. They're strong still. Dallas you know, they're playing well as always. They've won seven straight. I mean, that is that whole Western Conference is going to be tough. Though prognosticators, I mean, looking at Vancouver, who had been at the top of the Western Conference for the majority of the year, they just finally, you know, solidified and clinched a spot, which no one had Vancouver. No one. I don't think at the start of this season, I don't think anyone had them in that position. And they just, you know, Demko, their goaltender was the answer. He just so strong, and you get great performances all around. Vancouver's wheels kind of fell off when they added Lindholm. They won that first game, and then they started losing a bunch, so much so that they were talking about trading him at the deadline again as an option, which, wow, like that would have been something. But they've got it back together, so there's going to be a real fight to the finish. And I guess it, you know, just watch for the Blues. Can they reel in the Kings? It's the only team that they really could reel in. The Predators have been lights out, playing great. They're going to be a tough out no matter who faces. I mean, look, there, every team is really a tough out.
Right. Like, let's, this is more so than a lot of years. I feel like there's a bigger separation between the good teams and the bad teams. Because the Sharks, Blackhawks, Ducks are just awful.
Yeah.
Which means somebody else has just been feasting on them, and they have. And it's, you know, it's,
Kind of like the Metro this year, right? Hmm? Like the Metro has not looked like this for a long time.
No.
Like, because really, when you look at it, there, I mean, only three teams from the Metro getting into the playoffs, that doesn't seem possible.
Right.
You know, because, you know, Islanders, Pittsburgh, you know, Washington, where are these guys?
Devils. Like,
Devils.
Big steps back. Like, should have been better.
Like, fell back in a huge way.
Right. And the poor Islanders, like, I had said, hey, I think these guys can do it, right? And they were trending in the right direction. And now they've gone 2-7-1, and their golden triple's dropped to minus 29. And
it's just
tanked. Just, so, I don't know.
You know, I'll tell you what. I'm looking at the, I'm looking at the East playoffs right now. The Lightning with 89 points. I got to tell you, I don't think I want any part of them. And it's not like, it's just when you're on a heater, like they struggled mightily this year.
Mm-hmm.
And they really had to pull themselves out because they were not in a playoff position for the longest time. And then they got their poop in a group, and all of a sudden they look like the team that everyone wants no part of. You know what I mean? Because, and again, it's that experience that they have, you know, Stanley Cup winners, lots of, it's just, my goodness.
They're 8-1-1 in the last 10. And you know what jumps out to me is they're 3-0 in the shootouts this year, which we, you know, I think we all agree is just a skills competition. But
yeah,
as good or bad as they're playing, if Vasilevskiy gets hot, they only need to score one or two goals. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I mean, and he's undefeated so far in the shootout. I mean, that's, I know it's not like the biggest thing, but it's just, you know, in that kind of a domain, like the Canes are 2-5, right? We just don't have guys who just have quite the jukes and stuff typically that they get that done.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really matter who Andre faces. It's, you know, Vasilevskiy's just going to, if I'm going to bet on the shootout, and Vasilevskiy's the goalie, I'm generally going to bet for him, right?
Yeah.
So I'm with you. I would much rather I would rather win the Metro, right? Because you're going to play whoever you're going to play.
If you can't
beat Tampa in the first round, then you're probably not going to win the Stanley Cup anyway.
Right.
So I would rather win the Metro, because mostly just so we can say, hey, that's just another Metro, right, in a row.
Yeah. But
I'm also perfectly content to let the Rangers and Lightning just beat the snot out of each other for a while.
Yeah.
You know, let Kucherov and those guys deal with, Trouba and Rempe and all the other goons that are in New York.
I'm
okay with that.
And you know what? You know what's really great about the reverence that we have for a guy like Vasilevsky? We call it reverence. Maybe that's a little strong. The respect that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We can turn and look at the Hurricanes and say the goaltending. You got one guy. We've got two.
Right.
We've got two. And I mean, they showed it this week now against lesser teams, I would say, but back-to-back shutouts is impressive. Freddie is undefeated since his return.
Isn't that amazing?
It's like his save percentage is 9.56 or something like that. It's out of this world.
Right.
What you can't really ask more of him. He is back doing the things that we all knew. You know, it was funny earlier this season with his, injuries and sickness and all the rest of it. It was like a lot of people had shoved all in on Kochetkov, which was fine. But you and I both didn't want to rush him back and didn't want him actually in the net if it was going to threaten his health.
Right. I didn't think he was coming back this year.
I just did not believe it. And now, I mean, I'm glad that I'm not the doctor at all, because he was taken good care of. He's in a good spot. And now it's just the goaltending. And if you had a choice, I'm going to throw this at you right now. If you had a choice to pick, who do you want in opening night of the playoffs?
Anderson. And for two reasons. No disrespect to Pyotr Kochetkov. He was played phenomenally and has saved his season in a way that's just...
Yeah.
So through December 31st, he had at December 31st, he had a .900 save percentage and a .261 goals against.
Yeah.
But 2 weeks prior, he was at like .870. We're not talking good numbers here, right? We're talking like, this is pretty ugly. And he has gone on to, and I'm going to pull it up real quick. January 1st. Since January 1st, Kochetkov has had a .921 and a .215. Right,
he's just better.
But Anderson's got a .957 and a .114. So Anderson has been the better of the two. He, as good as Pyotr is playing, and we're going to talk a little more about Pyotr specifically in a minute. But Anderson, I tried to step back and say, if I'm Anderson, what am I looking at? He wasn't injured, right? It was a medical condition.
Right.
So we're not worried about like, okay, he's having to rehab something that we now need to worry about, right? We don't have to worry about a hamstring or a thigh or whatever that might be injured. Blood clot thing. So knock on wood, if he makes it for the next 2 months without blood clots, it's not an injury thing.
Yeah.
Which basically gave him a whole extra like 6 months to just rest, which at his age
helps.
Is probably more beneficial than we realized.
Yeah.
And he's been on a tear. I mean, so Kochetkov's got himself up to a .911 save percentage. His goals against is down to .238. We often say, if you can't score three goals, you probably don't deserve to win. And Kochetkov gives you a chance to win every night. Anderson, for the year, has gotten up to a .930, and his goals against is down to a .188, which is almost as good as Spencer Martin, who's gone 4-0 with her.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so impressive. I would go with Anderson in part because of the rest and the experience, right? He's older. Kochetkov could still win a Calder. He's played 70 games and he's still considered a rookie.
Yeah.
And also, I got into it with a Leafs fan the other night, and that's the other reason I would go with Anderson, is he still gets blamed for Toronto's early exits.
And what a joke.
Even though his goaltending was amongst the best in the league. And I think Anderson has a chip on his shoulder.
Well, he should. For the way he was treated in Toronto as well. Because there, one of our guests had pointed this out. It was a one of those behind-the-scenes series that you could get on Prime. And it talked about the Leafs, all or nothing for the Leafs, where Leafs management and coaching questioned Anderson's injury status.
Right.
His own team questioned his injury status, whether he was faking it or not. Can you imagine trying to play with that type of disdain from your own guys?
Right. Your management doesn't believe in you. They think you're faking an injury, even though your numbers are among you're their best goaltender. And we've had to play with him hurt a bunch of times. And I've never once said, is he hurt? I've been like, okay, this guy is fragile. If you want to say he's fragile, that's a fair argument to make. But I saw the All or Nothing on the Leafs, which is fantastic. It's on Prime if you haven't seen it. It takes you through the COVID-shortened season
for
the Maple Leafs. But they kind of throw him under the bus. And
they totally did.
Have 100%. And his play, they're always like, oh, he always fails in the playoffs. Can't compete in the playoffs. Look at his playoff numbers.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with his playoff numbers.
You know what? They laugh at you. Oh, how did you do last time with Freddie through the Eastern Final? You know, how'd you do there? He lost all four games, didn't he? He sucks. It's like, Leafs? You weren't even in the Eastern Conference Final, so shut up, first of all. Second of all, he wasn't the reason that they got shut out.
No.
He allowed one more goal in every, like, they lost by a single goal in every game, two of which were overtime. It's not, you couldn't put it on him. You couldn't. He was playing lights out in that series. And here's another thing I want to bring up. And it's, you've pointed this out in the past, and that's why I'm able to, you know, bring it up and say, you know, Brad's the man. It is so much harder to get your statistical numbers up than it is for them to drop. You know what I mean? Right. For both PK and for Freddie to make their numbers rise to where they're at now, that's not easily done. There's something there. You know what I mean? Right. Like if their numbers were to fall, that's easy. You know, you get blitzed one night and your numbers drop off the cliff. But to get them up to where they are now, shoot.
Let me ask you a question, Ray.
Sure.
If I said, I'm going to give you the choice, I'm going to give you a goaltender. You tell me if this person's a decent goaltender, even in the playoffs. 31 wins, 30 losses, 0.923 save percentage, 2.32 goals allowed, 2 shutouts.
I'd take that.
That's Henrik Lundqvist. Not a bad goalie, right?
King Henry? He was all right. I mean,
what if I offered you, real quick, a goalie who had one more win in one less chances, so one fewer games played, but one more win.
Yeah.
Better save percentage at .917, a slightly worse goals against at .244, and 3 shutouts. Would you take that guy?
Because
that's Frederik Andersen. Frederik Andersen is by save percentage, the 6th best goalie since 2013, above Pekka Rinne, Lundqvist, Corey Crawford, Ben Bishop, Sergei Bobrovsky, Grubauer, Varlamov, Quick, Bennington, Hellebuck. Are these big names for anybody?
Yeah.
Is he better than all of them in the playoffs?
Isn't that amazing? And what's the other stat that I saw where in comparison to points percentage, Freddie is like number three in the league all time in points percentage for goaltenders.
Yeah.
Ahead of Vasilevsky.
Right.
Right? Ahead, like
he was behind Fleury and I think and one other person, was it?
It was all time. I think they put Raw up there. I think that was it was like of all time.
Right.
Of all time.
Toronto lost because they can't score goals.
And they had a crap D. Yeah, right. They had a crap D.
And your goaltender still bailed you out. And then when it came to the playoffs, you went, we think you're faking an injury. And I forgot even who they put in. That was, I got to look it up. It's going to drop.
Was that Soup? Was that Soupy?
I was going to say Soupy, but I don't want to be wrong.
Yeah, I think it was Campbell. But, you know, either way, when we look at this, our goaltending is in such good shape right now. We have a lot to feel good about. And it's, I frankly, the additions of Kuznetsov and Gensel were nice, but it wasn't enough for everyone in the league to say, wow, look out for Carolina now, right? Mm-hmm. It was when Freddie came back and Kochetkov continued playing great hockey. Mm-hmm. And now they say, well, hold on a second. Now they've got the goaltending. Now they've got everything.
Right.
There's not a single weakness in the lineup anymore.
No, this
or not even weakness, just where you could put a shadow of doubt, right? It's just a little inkling that maybe it's not as good as we think. Freddie's just amazing. And I start with him too, with no disrespect to Kochetkov. I tease a lot. Anyone who listens to the program knows. I want him to hold on to his stick. I've always given him a hard time, but there's no doubt the fire that he has, you know.
He's a kid, he's still learning. That's the important thing, right? Not that he's capable, he is actually getting better and doing things. The other day he had a chance and I'm like, he's gonna poke check, and it might have been the Toronto game, and he didn't. I was like, awesome, because if you always poke check, they're going to know. And it was, I feel like it was maybe a 2-on-1, and I'm trying to remember the play, but I remember them coming down, and I was looking for the poke check, and he held back, and then the pass went across, and he was still in position because he hadn't tried to poke check. Boom, no problem. And then against Domi, and I think it was like the shootout or whatever, went for it on a guy who probably wasn't expecting it so much since he hadn't done it. And I'm like, that shows that he's learned. Like, I need to save it and do it in the right circumstances. Very proud of the kid for that one.
He's holding on to his stick more, Brad. Last night, there was a poke check as well that he did. The play's coming out in front, and the boys were in disarray, right? They did not look great at times, and the team that shall not be named were buzzing, and he got his stick out. The guy was coming out from behind him on the right, and he laid his stick out there, but he didn't let go of it. He didn't throw of it, thereby making the situation worse. And not only did this disrupt the offensive opportunity, it actually turned and ended up being a rush down ice. He's growing, he's learning, just like you said. So, yeah, this is great.
Right. And so, in speaking of Kochetkov, right, his second shutout, the second in two games for the Hurricanes. And I tweeted this last night. Kochetkov is now tied. Peter Sidorkiewicz who played 178 games in goal for the franchise. He's tied him with 8 shutouts. The difference being Kochetkov has played in only 70 games and has only started like 63. So coming in relief, you probably gave up some goals already, right? Unless
sure.
it's an injury. Yeah. So yeah. Those really don't count. I think I put it at 70. So in 100 fewer games, he's tied for 7th in shutouts, which sounds pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna loop around to an old timer here. Cam Ward leads the team all time, 27 shutouts, 668 games played. Arturs Erbe only played 309 games, so about less than half of what Cam Ward played. 20 shutouts. And Piotr, if you extrapolate it out, so at 210 games, if he continues, he might be at 24. So Piotr might get the shutout record in like a third to half as many games as Cam Ward if he's able to continue doing what he's doing.
Wow.
Now, granted, the defense in front of him is way better than Cam, so this is not all on Cam, right?
No.
Trying to take anything from Cam. Cam is a phenomenal talent and did a lot for this franchise when there wasn't a lot to be happy with.
He's in the rafters for a reason.
Numbers,
yeah.
Like, what Kochetkov is doing is just nuts. I mean, Anderson has 7 in 99 games played, which is still nuts. And you can thank Timmy Gleason and the defenders for that, because they're just not, you know, they're not allowing that many shots. And the shots they do allow are mostly not necessarily high danger chances unless they're having an off night. And it's just, you know, next year, legitimately, Kochetkov could pass Mike and Kevin Weeks.
Wow.
In shutouts. And become 3rd all time in his follow up to his rookie, his like 3rd rookie season.
Yeah. Gee whiz. That says a lot. Wow.
It does, right?
Sometimes the deep dives can be difficult to wrap your head around, but sometimes what they say is plain as day. And this is one of them. It's just,
yeah, it's
something to behold.
For the people who doubt the kid, like, he's young. He's mm-hmm. getting better. He's doing the things. He's trying. You know, just one of those people who might be a little feast or famine, right? Like, the ceiling is very high. The floor might be very low. But I have faith in the kid. And in the same vein, Andrei Svechnikov has looked considerably better since he and Rod Brind'Amour had their little, like, on ice. You know, Rod put his arm around him.
Yeah.
Told me, like, look, you know, I told him, like, keep doing what you're doing, but, like, we need you to, you know, to be who you are. And points I'm not worried about with Andre. I'm not worried about points with KK. Last night, was KK good defensively? Yeah, I thought so. I thought he played a pretty decent game. Was Svech? Yeah. Like, we need Svech to be a power forward. Put your body on people, right?
Svech had 3 clanks.
Right.
Beautiful shots where the best player for the team that shall not be named last night were the posts.
Right.
For the posts.
Probably need repainting today.
I mean, my goodness. At least the 3rd star for them. No penalties. Right?
I don't care if Svechnikov takes penalties. Sometimes you should take a penalty, right?
They're smart, and
when you're taking retaliatory penalties and everybody in the building knows the ref is going to call you. You have a reputation, good or bad.
Yeah.
What it is. The refs you are not going to get the calls, and it's got to be frustrating. You probably just want to, you know, bang your stick and just take a guy's head off, but you can't.
He was really smart last night.
He was.
He played physical. He had great opportunities. It was, and what I'm wondering is what if that had anything to do with the lineup switch? I'd never expected Stahl on the 2nd line.
Right.
That was quite a change. And I'm wondering if that, along with being lined up alongside Turbo, was the reason towards the good result. You know what I mean? There was no major mistakes. Two guys that can cover your back and actually let him get some great opportunities. Like I said, when he hits, you hit the post and crossbar three times in a game, you're right there.
Right.
Right there. I mean, he was so close.
I think it was RB Kaniak on Twitter, I think, was the one who said that he was hoping for lines like that, in part because that it's a simplified line.
Right? Yeah.
Because Kuznetsov and Nate just can do things. You know, Svech is an elite player, but yeah, that's not his game. His game is more direct.
Yeah.
And so by putting him with Stahl and Turbo, who are a little more direct, it simplifies things and it mentally probably slows things down a little bit. Like you said, that gives you two guys who can worry more about the defensive responsibilities and let Andre have a – I think we're seeing a shift from Rod Brind'Amour about being willing to – you need to stick to the system, but when there's an opportunity, a smart opportunity to take a chance, let's start taking those chances. And I think we're starting to see that because we're seeing Nate just skate more with the puck. And he's still doing his dipsy doodles and things that drive us bananas when they don't work or when he does them and gets by the defense and then drop passes it to nobody or whatever.
Right.
But he's doing more of those and holding on the puck longer and starting to make plays by doing it, which is fine. Like I'm all for that.
Yeah. And it's so much better defensively.
And it's better. Yeah. I think something in the locker room has changed. And I think it starts with the coaching staff. Something I think is there's been some give and take somewhere that guys are starting to free up. Gensel had another two assist night last night. And I forgot, I mean, I don't have it in front of me, but I feel like he's gotten multi-point games in like seven or eight of his games already with us. I mean, yeah. It's nuts. What a phenomenal pickup.
It was absolutely great. Look, we're going to have to wrap things up here pretty quick. There's a couple of things that we do need to talk about. One, Elliot Friedman last night caught me off guard in the second intermission again with another comment on the Hurricanes, this one surrounding Scott Morrow. And the headline said, you know, Hurricanes likely to keep Morrow.
Right.
So it was something like that. And I was like, hold on a second. Was there ever a doubt? Like it made me wonder if there was even questioning it. So I'm listening to him talk it out and stuff. And he said there are a lot of teams that were interested and he was really not. I can't even remember how he said it, but it was essentially not committed to the team just yet. And time was running out. But now all of a sudden it looks like everything's okay. Everyone relax. I was like, I was relaxed. I didn't know there was a problem.
Right.
Did you hear of any of this?
I haven't. And I checked through like Kane's prospects account really well. And I didn't see anything where like they had said that they thought it was an issue. So, yeah, it's when you draft somebody who goes to play in college, and you'll have to forgive me because I'm not a CBA expert.
Yeah.
But your exclusive negotiating rights with them started around like 2 years and then can go up from there. But it sounds like if Morrow were to return to UMass, in which he played really great in the NCAA tournament, by the way, and in the Hockey East tournament, that had he gone back to school for another year, he would end up being, I think, a UFA, and then could go wherever he wants.
Right.
Which is not what the Hurricanes want, right? They believe
no.
And I had not heard that before, but I was surprised. I'm happy that it sounds maybe it's a moot point.
Right.
Because Morrow is – we're going to need him, right? We have – if you want to sign Jarvis to a long-term contract and not a bridge deal,
yeah,
he's a restricted free agent. You can do that. He might want a bridge deal. Bridge deals are good for players because it gets them to unrestricted free agency faster.
Right.
So some of them would rather have that than have money. But Jarvis, you're not going to let him walk. You want to sign Gensel the way he's playing with this team because he makes this team better.
Well, look at that lineup.
I mean, and he's been good defensively, which was one of the potential knocks on him, right?
I didn't understand that. He's been great defensively. Yeah. Wow.
So on defense, you know, you are going to have to pay Slavin next year.
Yep.
Pesci and Shea are up this year. You got a re-up Chatfield, right?
You have Orlov at least
one more year. Nikishin can come over maybe after next year. So you need to plan, because we're not going to be able to sign everybody. Somebody's leaving.
Yeah.
And if you're saying, Brad, do you want Pesci, Shea, or Gensel? I want Gensel. I mean,
yeah.
He's so good, and he makes his line mates so much better that I feel like Orlov and Chatfield can step into the second pairing role. I've been saying forever, I see them as our second pairing because they're much more consistent than Shea Pesci. And then you find a new third pairing. And if you have Scott Morrow waiting in the wings, that's half of your third pairing.
There you go.
And then if you wait a year and you bring Nikishin over, he's probably not your third pairing guy. He's going
to No. He'll go straight to the front. But Burnsy will be gone by that time, right?
Burnsy will be gone. You'll need somebody. But, I mean, you know, if you have Slavin and Nikishin, who's
my gosh.
He's both good defensively and offensively, and will absolutely drop the hammer on anybody in his way.
He, you know what? He is Cale Makar with size.
I forgot who said that, but somebody was trying to find a comparison. Maybe it was Aaron Manning Wright. And I said, yeah, it's like a Makar that hits people. And they're like, yeah, that's exactly what he can be. And I'm like, that's just deadly.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about that. I kind of peed a little bit. I'm not going to lie. why we can't have him for the playoffs right now.
Yeah, no, they're not going to let him out of that. It sounds like Don, you know, or Tom was willing to send them money, and they were like, yeah, no. Which I don't blame them.
Hard to blame them.
Because they're going to make more than $1 million off of him the next year.
No question.
His season is over, unfortunately. He was injured during the playoffs, and SKA got eliminated. But, you know, the good news for some of us.
Yeah.
The Canes have a 4-day break.
Yes.
Much needed, much deserved. Shoot. Downside is you come back to back right away, Bruins, Capitals, and then next Sunday when we record, it's the Blue Jackets.
Yeah.
But then you have a little pace, right? Things slow down. Those last four games take up 9 days, it looks like. So, you know, we have the one back to back, and then you're done with back to backs. You know, then you actually have a few days, but you know, between games a little bit,
and a much softer schedule
if
Chicago's in there.
Metro, you know, if we can't catch the Rangers, fine. I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah,
just it's the time of year. Get everybody to the playoffs healthy.
Yep,
and go from there. Before we wrap, though, I do real quick want to give a shout out to Jonathan Quick.
Man, that guy
formerly
can play.
And known as the King, you know, Los Angeles Kings goalie, three-time Stanley Cup champion. He's playing with the Rangers. He notched his 392nd victory yesterday, surpassing Ryan Miller, who was a multiple-time Olympian, fantastic goaltender, the most wins by a U.S.-born goaltender of all time.
Congrats to him.
Just a phenomenal job.
I've always had tons of respect for him. Did not like the idea of him taking on, you know, really anyone. If he was playing against us the whole time, that was reason for alarm. He, you know, carried those Kings teams at times.
Yeah.
I mean, they were an eighth seed. They were an eighth seed when they got in and won the Stanley Cup.
That
can't be done without great goaltending, of which he was the provider. Did a great job. So, yeah, definitely. Congrats to them. This has been a great episode. I'm really looking for it. Am I right that next week, do we hint?
Yeah. You can spill the beans.
Yeah, Mike Solarte is going to be Is he joining us next week?
He's in 2 weeks, sir.
He's in 2 weeks.
Mike Solarte will be with us on the 14th.
Okay.
Because we have two games left. You know, we'll have the Hawks Jackets, and Mike is going to be our playoff preview guy because Mike's a hockey guy. Mike's in the know.
He is.
Can't wait to have Mike back next week. So we play the Bruins on the 4th.
Yeah.
And the 9th. 4th in Raleigh, 9th in Boston. And we will have Kaniac fans' favorite Boston, Bobby Beers.
That's the guy right.
The crying meme thing against Boston, who we then smoked, who turned out to be a cool guy. Like, we've been in touch. We'll talk more about him and with him. But yeah, he will be joining us on the 7th to give us a little Bruins Hurricanes follow up and then a little Bruins Hurricanes preview because we could see them again this year. I mean,
oh, yeah.
They're a good team. We're a good team. That rivalry has intensified the last little while.
Oh, sure.
You know, they beat us 2 years in a row in the playoffs, and then we including that shutout, and then we smoked them real good.
Yep.
So, yeah. So, Bobby Beers and then Mike Solarte.
Bobby is proof of what we have said all along. The Storm Cellar is open to everyone. Okay. Everyone. We'd love to talk to them all because, you know, hockey is an amazing sport. There are amazing fans out there like him who, you know, the chirping and the whatever, like that's all in good fun, right?
Right. Yeah. He's one of those folks who doesn't take it too seriously, right? He chirped us. It turned around and bit him, and he was like, "Yep, that's on me," you know.
I went out, don't ride
this guy hard. Like, he's clearly, he's taking his lumps. He's moving on. He's
one of the good ones.
Fun with it, chirping, and he has a Bruins podcast that he's a part of. So we'll probably talk, you know, a little bit about that. But yeah, we thought that might be a nice little mix it up.
That's a great way to do it. I love that you lined him up
for the playoffs. I would love during the playoffs to get a fan of the opposing team on each week, maybe in addition to our regular guest or Andrew Schnitaker from Wilson Times was supposed to be on today, but with NC State playing tonight, wasn't able to. Work and family first. So he's going to be covering that. So I'd love to maybe get him on during the playoffs.
Yep.
We have Ryan Hinkle, I think, coming on here in a couple of weeks during the playoffs. So we're going to have some more journalistic style guests on for the playoffs. And maybe in addition to that, maybe we can find a couple of fans of whoever we're playing for each series, you know, maybe find a fan to bring them on for a little, you know, back at like, hey, you know, either preview it. Hey, tell us, you know, what do you like about your team? What, you know, what are your worries about our team and vice versa? And I don't know, if we can make that work out, that might be a fun back and forth.
There's only one way they can do that, though. They got to get in touch with us and give us a heads up and let us know. Or our regular listeners maybe have friends that cheer for the opposing team, and you can send them our way. But where do they go?
Pretty much everything is going to be facebook.com/stormcellar97. On Twitter, we're at stormcellar97. Our link tree is linktr.ee/stormcellar97. It has everything on there, including the blog, which we don't really put a lot on. But Facebook, Twitter, we technically have an Instagram because we have a Facebook, but I don't really post much there. We're on Blue Sky, same thing, Stormcellar 97. So if you look up Stormcellar 97 on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, Twitter, any of those things, it's going to come back to us.
Can't wait. Can't wait. I'm very, very delighted with the victory last night.
Absolutely. Now we get to rest. Well, I got a big game at 5:05 today, and then I can rest.
You sure do. And good luck to you on that. They might take away my my Tar Heel fan membership for wishing that to you publicly. But I'm going to do it anyway because you're playing Duke. And to heck with Duke. Get rid of him.
I think you will fit right in with the vast majority of UNC fans.
We've done it all today, Brad. And this, you know what? I remember this time.
Oh.
And sadly, it's it's too late because now they got 4 days off and tell them to go enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
Go get some rest. Happy Easter to all of those who celebrate.
Yep. Happy Easter.
And go Canes.
Go Canes.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Ray and I greatly appreciate your support in helping us produce an informative and fun podcast. As always, we'd like to say that we believe hockey is for everyone. Whether you're a Caniac or a bunch of jerks, doesn't matter, as we're just a couple of jerks anyway. We would love to hear your questions, comments, and suggestions. We will do our best to answer anything hockey-related. You can reach us via email at stormcellar97@gmail.com. On Twitter, we are @stormcellar97, and on Facebook at facebook.com/stormcellar97.